Well, good morning. So we're in this series of messages called 5 times 5 times 5, reading through the whole New Testament in 1 year. One chapter a day, 5 days a week. And this is week 11. And you'll see from the reading plan that we've arrived at Hebrews chapters 7 to 11. And if you've actually been keeping up with this, I'm sure, like me, that you will have found week 11 to be quite a tough week of reading. But you can relax right away, because what we're going to look at this morning is just a few bits from Hebrews chapter 11. And in my Bible, chapter 11 has the title, Faith in Action. So let's pray and then see where God takes us. Father God, you haven't left us alone in the world. You've spoken to us through your Son, Jesus. And you have given us these words of scriptures to guide us and to encourage us. And so we pray right now that you would give us the gift of wisdom to hear what you're saying and the power of your Spirit to do what it says. And we pray this help for every single one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you look back at the very beginning of the book of Hebrews, you'll see that this whole letter is written to Jewish people, Hebrew people, who've become Christians. And we don't know who wrote this letter to the Hebrews, but whoever it was, he's looking back at a lot of events in the Old Testament that the Jews were really familiar with. And he's trying to help them to understand how it all fits together now that they've become Christians and now that they believe in Jesus. So in our chapters, chapters 7 to 11 in Hebrews this week, the writer talks about a king called Melchizedek, who was also a priest, and he explains how this king, this priest, is like Jesus. And then he talks about Old Testament sacrifices, and he explains how believing in Jesus changes all that. And then he talks about worship in the tabernacle in the Old Testament. And again he explains how believing in Jesus changes all that as well. And then he gets to this point in his letter, chapter 11, and he's aware that people will be reading this and they'll be thinking, yes, I'm a Christian, I believe all this. Being a Christian is just about what you believe, isn't it? I just tick a box that says I'm a Christian, I become a church member, you know, play along, and it doesn't matter what I actually do so much. And the writer in Hebrews is making a really important point here in chapter 11. He says faith needs action. It's got to work. It's got to do something. It's got to make a difference to how I live. There's something about our belief, our life of faith, and our actions. They belong together. They're inseparable. You can't have one without the other. And what the writer to the Hebrews, to these Hebrew Christians, does in chapter 11 is that he gives them a long list of famous people from their history, people who had faith in God, and he explains how their faith came out in their actions. He says, look at their faith in action. This is how it works. Basically, he's saying, guys, faith without action doesn't make any sense. You can't have one without the other. They belong together. So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at faith without action, first of all. And then we're going to look at faith in action. So, faith without action. What good is it? What's the point of that kind of faith? In fact, if you look at the letter that James, the brother of Jesus, the very next book in the Bible from Hebrews, James talks about the same thing. He says in James chapter 2, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. You don't want to have a faith that's dead. You have to put your faith into practice. Let me give you a couple of examples of faith that's dead. If your faith exists only in your head, if it's a head's only faith, because I believe X, Y, and Z, these are a set of things that make me a Christian, then that faith is dead. If it's in your heart only, and you say, well, I'm a Christian because I come to church, I have this sense of joy and peace, and it's wonderful. If it's only there, that faith is dead. Or, you know, I go out into the world and I have this wonderful sense of the peacefulness of creation, and somewhere in the universe there's meaning, and I just feel it in my heart, and it's really nice. That faith is dead. Or, if you're a Christian in name only, I call myself a Christian, that's the box I would tick, then your faith is dead. Because what our chapter in Hebrews is saying is that faith that's really alive and active has to go beyond your head and your heart and your name. It has to be about what you do. It has to come out in your actions. Otherwise, it's simply dead. When I was at university, we had a thing called a Christian Union, the CU. And in the CU, guest speakers would sometimes be invited to come and talk to us. But before they could speak to us, we had to run this little test past them. So we had a list of things, and they had to go through the list, and they had to say, do you believe this? Do you believe that? Do you believe the other? Tick, tick, tick. About 10 things we used to ask them about what they believed. Not once did we ask them about their life. Not once did we say, how are you at home? Are you gentle with your family? We'd never ask. How's the swearing in the car? We never used to ask. If we saw your whole life, would we say, this person generously loves the poor? We never used to ask. And you know, it's really important that we get our beliefs right. But it's dead if we don't live it out in our actions. And the writer to the Hebrews is fully aware of that. And the thing about dead faith is this. It doesn't work. And that's the point. It doesn't work. It doesn't do any work. It doesn't do anything. It won't save you. It doesn't do the job. It can't actually get us right with God. Because the person who hasn't got any actions, who doesn't actually live out their faith, it doesn't look like God's got any relationship with them at all. But also, faith without actions doesn't make much difference to the world either, does it? Doesn't help anybody. Doesn't bring change to the community. Doesn't bring hope and healing. Doesn't bring transformation to a society, because it's dead. It's not alive. And do you know why that is? There's a really important reason why that is. It is that when God made the world, he made us both mind and body. He made the whole, and he cares about the whole. And the number one reason that God isn't interested in dead faith, faith without action, is that is not how God showed his faith. That's not how God showed his faithfulness. When God showed his love for the world, he didn't just send a message. He didn't just say, look, here's some truth. God stepped into our world in Jesus. He put all of himself into the life of Jesus. And he put flesh and blood on his love. And he totally offered himself in the life of Jesus. And that's how God showed his willingness to save the world. That's how God showed his faith, his faithfulness to the world. And so when he calls for faith from us, what he's looking for is an answering faith, which is faith and trust in him, but also action. It also goes to work. It does something. So faith without action is dead. It doesn't work. I just want to mention something about faith and works stuff that I've come across from time to time. It's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2. Because people get a bit hung up about the notion of works. I mean, the word works becomes to some Christians like a bad word. Like we shouldn't do works because we're trying to earn God's approval. And we shouldn't do those kinds of things because we're trying to prove ourselves. I was chatting to one person, actually, who said, you know what, I was reading the Bible, but then I realized I might be reading the Bible for the wrong reasons, so I stopped. Or you might find that there's some great stuff going on in our communities. Lots of people showing love and mercy. And you're thinking, well, but what if these people don't know God? And they're doing it with the wrong motives. And they're trying to earn God's salvation. I'm not sure we should be positive about that. I want to make it really clear. God is not down on people being good, on goodness, on acts of mercy and kindness, wherever it's found. We're motivated by all sorts of things. And you know what? I think we should stop worrying sometimes about whether we've got our motives right and get out and do the things that God is calling us to do. Read your Bible. Support your friends who are doing good work around the community. Because you don't know the motives of your heart, and even if you did, it wouldn't be your job to judge them anyway. Get out. Do the things that God is calling you to do. And you know what? God will sort out your motives along the journey. He'll work on your heart on the way. So, lastly, faith in action. Faith that's alive works. So, Hebrews chapter 11, not before time, gives us a whole long list of famous people in the Old Testament that these new Jewish Hebrew Christians would know well. They will have heard the stories about them since they were children. All of these people in the Old Testament who put their faith in God into action. But we are not so familiar with all these names in Hebrews chapter 11, so I'm going to focus mainly on just one famous Old Testament character that we do all know well, Abraham, and also a bit later, one other character in Hebrews chapter 11. So, Abraham. Abraham gets mentioned a lot in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And then incredibly, a little bit later in Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He was about to sacrifice his one and only son. And God asked Abraham to give up the thing that mattered most to him. The story of Abraham and Isaac is probably one of the most controversial stories in the Bible. And perhaps the most misunderstood one. The idea that God would ask a man, Abraham, to sacrifice his son Isaac to gain God's favor, it seems incredulous. It sort of feels bad. And that's why this particular moment in history is so important. Because it really pushes to the very heart of the character of God, who God is, what he demands of us, and who he invites us to be in relationship to him. God never intended a human sacrifice. But what he does want is the sacrifice of our lives to him. Think of that story now, of Abraham and Isaac, an epic moment in history where a man has to decide that God can be trusted. For Abraham to be willing to sacrifice his son was to say to God, God, I believe the future is yours. that everything we long for, everything we need as human beings, can be trusted in your hands. When Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, he was saying to God, I place everything I am, everything I have, and the hope of the world in your hands, God. So when the writer of this letter wants to talk about faith in action, it's really interesting that one of the people he talks about the most is Abraham. Because sometimes when we think about giving and getting involved and trying to do something good, we often use a kind of percentage mentality. So we'll think, okay, there's something good happening. I wonder if we can raise some funds maybe. Let's give away 10%. We'll have a kind of 10% faith. But what happens with Abraham isn't a kind of 10% faith. It's not even a 50% faith. Abraham is that example, which is why it's so powerful, is because he's 100%. What God called Abraham to do is absolutely give himself and to surrender the thing that matters most to him. Let me give you just one more example from the list of people in Hebrews chapter 11, of someone who put their faith in God into action. Rahab. I guess she's not as well known as Abraham, but incredibly, Matthew in his gospel tells us that Rahab is a direct ancestor of Jesus himself. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, welcomed the spies into her home. And she was not killed with those who were disobedient. What Abraham does is that he surrenders his most treasured possession, which is his son. And what Rahab does is actually she opens up a home. And if you know the story, she opens up a home to some spies from God's army. And through that, she gets to be safe. But what she does is that she risks opening her home to strangers. And I think it's really interesting that Hebrews 11 is full of very practical examples of people who put their faith in God into action. And that's what this is all about. If you want to put your faith into action, then it will be a matter of offering that which is your greatest treasure. And if you want to put your faith into action, it'll be like opening up your home to a stranger. So, what does faith in action mean? It means to offer everything you've got to the practical work that God is doing. Hospitality, generosity, faith in action. It means to offer everything. And if that feels scary, it's not surprising. It's a very powerful thing to say, what does it mean to offer to God everything I've got and to put into practice this faith? One final thing I'd say about what this means in practice is this. Because when the early church put their faith into action, sometimes, certainly, it was what we might call random acts of kindness. Just coming across people without food, without shelter, without clothes. But actually, when the early church put their faith into action and looked after those in need, and in particular in the New Testament, we often read about the church looking after widows and orphans, because those were the people most in need in that culture, it seems. So it's interesting to bear in mind that when the early church looked after people in need, it didn't do it in a random acts of kindness kind of way. And each one think, well, I'm going to go and find someone to look after. I'll find a widow and look after her. And people say to each other, I've got one, have you got one? There's a slight danger of that. I came across an expression, volunteerism. Maybe you've come across this word. It's like we volunteer for things, but it's us that get something out of it. Because what we really want to do is just a little bit of something good to make ourselves feel better. When the early church wanted to look after people in need. What they did is they prayed about it and they faced some difficult choices. And if you look at Acts chapter 6, you'll see that they faced some very difficult choices. And they supported a team of people who were gifted and called to do it really well. And they drew up a list of people who are widows, for example. And if you read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus, you'll see that there was a list. And there were ways of getting on the list and ways of getting off the list. So they were very organized about how they cared for those in need in their midst. In other words, compassion for a Christian isn't just a kind of part-time hobby when you get the opportunity. It was something they took really seriously and organized themselves to do really well. And so when this writer to the Hebrew Christians here in our chapter talks about faith in action, he is talking about something that happens whenever you meet another Christian, but he's also talking about something that might take a lot more work and thought. And that's where I really want to end, with that challenge, which is this. What does it mean for you to put your faith into action? And to ask God the question, what does it mean for the whole of me to serve you, God? Who is it that you are calling me to give to? What does it mean to say to God, I don't want a faith that's dead. I want my faith to be alive and active. And I know that's risky. And I know that it's going to be costly. But I'd rather have a faith that lives because it's your life, God. It's you that's actually saving me in the middle of this. Rather than a faith which keeps me safe and sound and sounds great and everything. But actually, it's not real faith at all. Let's pray about that. Father God, thank you that you made us people of word and deed. You made us with hands and feet to serve you. And what we pray for, Lord God, is that you would reconnect our words with our actions. That you would keep us from being people who just talk about you, to people whose lives speak of your love and your mercy and your grace. And Father God, we pray even now that you would speak to us about what it means that we should offer our lives to you and take your hand and trust you. Lord, what does it mean to trust you with the whole of our lives, everything that's precious to us, to open up our homes? And what does it mean for us to have a faith that's active in our lives? In Jesus' name, Amen.